time flies. To think when I walked onto Tennessee's campus, I was a 17-year-old kid thinking he knew everything about the world. The time that I spent at
very
the
poetic.
University of Tennessee was everything I could have asked for and more. I was challenged more than I had been my entire life. I was humbled. I was taught how to not only impact a culture, but to also impact winning. I met a ton of amazing people, and I'm thankful to everyone who believed in me. My family, coaches, teammates, friends, classmates, professors, all made an impact on my life in one way or another, and I thank you for it from the bottom of my heart. I've matured and become man enough to take the next step in my life and pursue my dream of becoming a professional NBA basketball player. I could go on and on about my time at the university and how many great experiences that I had, but I wanted to keep it short and say thank you, Tennessee.
Keep it short?
I am a Vol for life.
I'd say this is airing on verbose, but that's fine.
And I pray I'll never be forgotten. Go Vols, number two out, hashtag VFL, hashtag GBO. That was Grant Williams on Instagram. Should we have developed him a little less? Like,
no,
like,
we needed him.
You professors, man, why didn't you take a little longer? Why weren't you a little harder on Grant Williams?
Supply chain management in 3 years. Hello, guys. Needed him for four. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. No, he's just real smart.
Yeah, no.
It is what it is. Funny how much he thanked the fans a ton in both the stadium video and in his Instagram post. Big fan of the fans is Grant Williams, as he should be, as they all should be. But I thought it was a nice touch. I mean, he handled it about as well as he could, right? I mean, I have not seen one ill word towards Grant Williams based on his decision. He did exactly what we all, I think, wanted him to do. He got really, really good feedback, and he's going to stay in the NBA draft. He's going to go top 20 probably. Going to make some money, going to start the NBA career, and my only issue is it's a little sad and frustrating because, you know, he plays his last game in Thompson Bowling. We watch him for the final time, and we really don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it was probably going to happen this way, where you know you lose the last game. And you have kind of a disappointing performance, but I wish we had maybe known. And I guess that's the problem with people going, you know, to the NBA or to the NFL early, is you're never really sure when you're watching them for the last time. But looking back on this season and the season prior, what a special player and person is Grant Williams. All he did for obviously the basketball team, but the university, the community, he did everything the right way. And it's been a while since Tennessee's had someone in basketball who's handled it about as well as he has, about as well as you could. And I think it's a combination of things, obviously. But, I mean, I think everyone loves Chris Lofton. Chris Lofton, much more soft-spoken, not the put me in front of a camera and a microphone and I'll do a video, not the I'm going to tweet out a thank you letter. That Grant is, I mean, that's what you want. That's what you want your program to be about. That's what you want your university to be about. All sports, that's the type of player that you want representing the university. So kudos to him on a great career and hopefully to an even greater career as a professional, because he deserves it. Did it the right way from start to finish. Billy said Friday, he looked really good Thursday. He was playing well. Didn't score necessarily, but, you know, the leadership aspect, the basketball intelligence aspect, like that's what you're going to get with Grant. I think all NBA teams who have him on their board realize there's a little bit of development still needed as far as an outside shot. And then I guess kind of a fit aspect as far as where he plays, who he defends, that type of thing. But if you're wanting someone who's going to come in, not give you any headaches whatsoever, and has the potential to develop into a, in my opinion, a really good NBA player, yeah, it's Grant Williams.
He looked even better on Friday, Houston.
I'm not surprised. So did Bone. I heard. Oh, yeah. I heard Bone looked sensational on Friday. They were releasing some highlights, and it was like he finally kind of realized I need to just attack. It's funny, like you see all those test numbers, and that's exactly what we said on Friday. Jordan Bone won all of the testing. Why does that not show up more? Well, Friday it did, because you saw him attacking. You saw him really putting stress on the defense with his speed, with his burst, and it looked like he was just trying to get to the lane, score points, and then he also had a couple really nice assists too. But seems like Bone's probably going to get drafted also. I mean, everyone just says he's flying up boards. People are who jumped a what? And then you watch him in the scrimmage setting, and he's, I'm going to say, dominating. But you're seeing the things that we saw from Jordan Bone, you know, inconsistently. But when he was good, he was good. It looked like Kentucky Jordan Bone out there.
There's a Oklahoma City blog, I guess. I don't know if it's much expert or whatever, but it has like a mock draft by Fit. Mm. It has Schofield going to the Bucks at 30. It has Bone going to the Spurs at 29, and has Grant Williams going to the Celtics at 22.
Give those numbers again. 22, 23, 29?
22, 29, 30.
Oh, 30. Sorry.
Yeah. Has Grant Williams going 22 to the Celtics, the Spurs taking Bone at 29, and then the Bucks taking Schofield at 30.
I would love if those were the teams for those guys. I would love that. I know you would love the Bucks getting Schofield. But
it's a rough loss last night.
Yeah,
still
it's okay.
Recuperating.
It's okay.
That was a chance to just
could have won the
put the dagger in there. Yeah.
No, those would be three good teams for these guys. I mean, it's based on fit. I realize that. But based on fit, I think those are solid. Grant to the Celtics would be kind of perfect. I mean, he almost went to Harvard.
It's true.
So now he would kind of get to go anyway. To Boston. I mean,
right.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Study under.
Well, they don't run Harvard at night, last I checked.
Yeah. Brad Stevens. I mean, he's kind of the professor, right? Kind of the young guru professor.
That's what they say, but playoff resume hasn't been too good. It's okay. We got Urosh. Urosh. Dang it. Urosh. Urosh. Urosh.
It's U-R-O-S. Like, what do you see when you say it? Or are you not that type of person?
What do I see?
Do you just hear it? Because you're such a sound guy.
Well, I think it's because I immediately thought it's Urosh, because I say the U. Urosh.
No.
But it's
Urosh. Urosh.
Yeah. Like, there is no Y.
Yeah.
But when you say the word U, there is a Y, if that makes sense. I mean, it's the Y sound on the letter U. But there's no Y in Urosh. Oh God! Someone save us.
What do you?
We have a phone call. That's what I was trying to hint to you. Do we want to allow him on the show though? Is my question.
Well, I don't know. I guess it's.
He's kind of in timeout.
He was. We kind of punished him and making him wait a minute here, because if you missed it, Friday Rod called in and gave us the scoop from his boy Gary
and Juanita.
Over at the complex, who knows all, that Grant Williams was at least heavily considering staying, coming back to Tennessee. And about 5 minutes later, give or take.
I mean, the next segment.
Boom. Grant Williams.
Not
stadium
only,
exclusive.
I was going to say, not only was it announced, he had already filmed the video. So this video existed as Rod called in to say, I think Grant's coming back.
I think Juanita was planted by the athletic department and throw Rod off.
I think it's some misinformation to see where the leaks lie.
Uh huh.
And now
a mole check.
Yep. Now
Mission
Juanita.
Mission Impossible style.
I mean, Rod went full Jimmy Himes on that one. Just saying. No offense to anyone.
Except Jimmy Himes. Rod, what's up, buddy?
Urosh Palavicic. You got some splaining to do. Well, you know, Jeff Brom, Grant Williams, same guy.
Now listen, let me explain to you what happened.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what we want.
Do you remember correctly?
This is going to be like Butch Jones who fell on a helmet. Here it comes.
That somebody hit a helmet. No, I'm kidding. But,
I read the text wrong, and that's the truth?
No, Gary, I told you he's out with hip surgery, so he got one needed to do his dirty work. And I told you he's on some of that medicine and stuff.
Oh, the Oxycontin got him.
No, hold on now. Let me talk. Y'all better have your 10 minutes to go on and on about me. Now, Juanita called Gary on Friday morning and told him...
You know Gary doesn't speak Spanish.
...that he was staying, and Gary started going nuts and freaking out and hung up the phone on Juanita... And so then Gary called me and told me everything.
In the draft.
But he didn't hear that Juanita said that he was staying in the NBA draft.
Ah.
And so Gary got all worked up because he heard that word staying. And then poor Juanita, after Gary got back a hold of her, he fired her.
No.
And so Gary put Juanita out, and there's this other lady. I don't know her name, but she's a little Hispanic lady that works down there with Juanita, too. And she explained to Gary what happened, and Gary felt awful. And he's been trying to get a hold of Juanita all weekend to to give her job back. Because poor Juanita was right, but Gary was an idiot and on drugs and got so excited when he heard the word staying that he thought that meant staying at school.
Prescription
so
drugs.
I blame Gary. You know, I brought you in that information, and I was wrong. And after this phone call, I will give myself a 2-week self-imposed ban.
No. Well, maybe. So
I think you should have to call more. That should be your punishment.
So Juanita said he's staying. Gary hangs up the phone and misses in the NBA draft.
He started hooting and hollering.
Oh, it was the hooting and the hollering.
Yeah. And I tell you, I mean, I felt awful, but at least we got Yossi to come in here and play for us. That's at least a good start. But boys, do my beard need to be longer?
What? Does your what need what?
Does his band need to be longer?
No. Rod, this is just classic, you know.
So what you're saying is
lost in translation, game of telephone, it happens. It is kind of weird. I mean, if you hit pause on the Grant Williams video, he does say, "I'm going to stay." You hit pause, you think he's staying at Tennessee. It's weird that he's staying in the NBA draft. So I understand where the miscommunication would have come along.
Imagine if Gary had come through for you and listened to the rest of Juanita's explanation. Broad, you could have been the person that broke the news.
Wow.
Ahead of Grant Williams, one segment ahead that he's staying in the NBA draft.
Well, I told you that morning, Juanita heard it from the horse's mouth because they was all talking about it there at the complex.
Yep.
And she heard it, but stinking Gary didn't listen to the little Hispanic lady's whole message.
Ah, Gary. Those hydrocodone pills, they'll get you. He was looped up.
If anybody knows a little Hispanic lady named Juanita, have her call the university down there at the maintenance department so that Gary can give her a damn job back.
That's an all call out there.
Yeah.
If you know
all call to the 1340 Nation, it's mandatory. Call Gary.
Rod and Reel.
The maintenance department.
Yes. If you see a nice lady, jobless, named Juanita, please have her call UT Police.
Okay. All right, now, fellas, y'all come up with what you think I need to do as far as ban. I'll abide by what you say. But you know, I love you, boys. And Billy, you're getting better. Love you and see you.
Bye, Rod. I'm staying in the NBA draft.
Woo! Yeah, well, he said he just started yelling.
Got excited.
So she might have finished the sentence, but he just didn't hear it.
I mean,
then he hung
up. If he's lying, it's a pretty good lie. But I actually believe that story. I actually believe that Rod knew a guy named Gary and a girl named Juanita, and that's exactly what happened in real life. And I hope Juanita gets her job back. And yes, we did get Yossi. Congrats to Yossi.
Rod was so close. He was so close to having the scoop. Just had the opposite. Just
need to listen to the entire
right.
The entire message.
No, Gary. What are you doing, Gary? Man. We'll regroup. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. So it's pretty much official. We're losing everybody. Bone.
Yeah.
Gone. Williams, definitely gone. Schofield, Alexander, obviously.
Gone.
Aged out.
They're too old.
Can't play this league anymore. You got to move up.
Look at them. They're old. They're too old.
So now it's...
Boy, it's going to be weird next
year. I
mean,
do we call this a rebuild? Do we call it,
I think that's fair. Do you not?
I think you have to.
Yeah, you're losing four starters.
Yeah, I don't know how you would call that anything. Man, this is like one and done type stuff. I got this... Yeah, it's a rebuild.
Two starters, or four starters that started for 2 years.
Good grief.
Well, and I guess Grant was inserted in the starting lineup a little bit as a freshman, so in Schofield.
Schofield, I want to say, started a few games as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. Although he was in the doghouse that year, so not as much. And, gosh, Kyle feels like he started ever since he got here just because he was tall. Yes, next year will be very different. We've talked about what happens if everyone were to stay in the draft, and it has now essentially been made official. We're waiting on Jordan Bone officially, May 29th. But at this point, sure seems like his stock is rising at a rate that would suggest he stays. So Tennessee must replace Bone, Williams, Schofield, Alexander. They have, at least on paper, done that recruiting-wise. Kinda. You have Josiah Jordan James.
Hmm.
We're going to call him JJJ. Triple J. Right? We'll work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Trey J. Got it. That's it. Trey J. Five-star, one of the best players Tennessee's ever signed. He's coming in. Drew Pember from Bearden, one of the best players in the state. Devontae Gaines, who I guess we'll have to wait and see. Haven't watched much tape on him. I'll need to do that. Him and Pember. Maybe I can do that live later. And now you've added Oliver Robinson Kemhua, who went from no star to four star very quickly. And now you've gotten Uros Plavacic. So you have at least brought in the bodies, plus one, to replace what you lose. If Bone stays, do we then have one more spot?
Wait, stays?
In the draft.
In the draft.
Oh, I get it. There was some confusion there. Yeah, seems like that's going around,
exactly.
Rod. But if he stays in the NBA draft, do we then have one more spot? Because we're both of the walk-on seniors on scholarship.
Yeah. So, yeah, you have to. Yeah.
So there is the potential that if Jordan Bone stays, we add another player to this class. Interesting.
The initial thought was Jalen Cohn.
Correct. Who has since committed to Virginia Tech. And I don't know. The grad transfer market is not good. Everyone's going to Memphis. And I mean everyone is going to Memphis. Recruits, transfers, it doesn't matter. Penny Hardaway spending all of the money he made in the NBA to put together the top-ranked recruiting class in the country. Really excited that that team comes to Knoxville next year. Really excited that we got that series rolling. And now that there's bad blood and we don't have a team, I'm fine. I'm not mad. I'm not mad that Penny Hardaway is putting together a fine basketball squad in Memphis in his first year, and we're rebuilding. I am not upset at all about that. I'm lying. I'm very upset. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that recruiting class?
Yeah. Yeah, it's loaded.
It's unfair. It's Nick Saban-like. I heard John Reed talking about this last week. They might have seven of the best players in that game. Seven of the best eight. Hopefully Josiah James is at least in the top eight. But they're going to be multiple players on Memphis's bench that are higher ranked than anyone we have other than Josiah James. Josiah Jordan James, Trey J. we call him.
Well, yeah, and they got Ray John Tucker.
Yes, transfer, the grad transfer from
Little Rock.
Yeah.
I thought he would make a really good fit at Tennessee. He scored 20 points
a game
last year.
Like 20.8 points per game.
Shot over 40% from the three-point line.
Yeah, we couldn't use that, could we?
Mm-mm.
Did we get Blackshear? Has that happened yet? Are we still waiting on Blackshear?
Does he even come now?
No, we got a seven-footer.
Yeah.
But he.
No, I mean, everybody said he wasn't coming beforehand.
We don't know this. Don't be negative. How do you now look at next year's season? Like, how do you even begin to frame expectations for a team we've never seen outside of a little bit of Fulkerson, Bowden, and Turner? The good news is you have Turner. I think Turner can run the point. I think he can do it successfully. I don't think you're in dire need of a true point guard. The question is, can Lamonte Turner do that and do what he does best, which is hit big threes? Obviously, Jordan Bowden, you're not coming off the bench next year, champ. You're in the game from the tip, and we're going to need you. The good news, however, is as you look inside, depending on where James kind of fits in, it appears you've got at least a decent rotation of bigs now. I mean, Cam Hua, Pavlovic, Burns, Fulkerson. It's four guys over 6'9". It's not bad. Cam Hua might be 6'8". Still, right in that range. I mean, he's a big guy. So you've got a little bit of post play now. You've got two good guards.
Zach Kent.
And Zach Kent, who may be a baller. I don't know. And you bring in Josiah James, who is kind of the wild card, but he is a five-star prospect, or was. They dropped him. Bad performance in the McDonald's All-American game. I really don't even know how you look at next season and put expectations on Rick Barnes. It's a very strange time for all of this to take place, considering the contract and extension you just gave him. This is one of those where at the end of next season, I hope we're not sitting there saying, boy, what an idiot Philip Fulmer is for the extension and raise he gave Rick Barnes.
Over under 19.5 wins. What are y'all taking right now?
I would take the over.
Under. Nah, it's close though.
You're negative. You were in a bad mood on Friday and you're in a bad mood now. What do you want? You want good players that go to the NBA.
You don't even know if
you want good players that are good enough to go to the NBA. You get that, and now you're mad.
I'm not mad at all. He asked the question. I answered it. Euros may not even be eligible, first of all.
I am curious as to when we'll get some type of answer on that, or has there already been one?
I mean, is he the DJ Burns this year? Like, he just sits there all year waiting out again? He already had to wait a whole year. He already redshirted a whole year at Arizona State. He was banged up, right? Is that why he didn't play?
Yeah.
So he's Zach Kent for Tennessee, and we need.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Since he didn't play, does that count as a sit-out year for the transfer? I know he was with the team, but he did not play.
I mean, it doesn't matter in the true technical sense of the eligibility. Now he could get a waiver, but if you're like sticking to the established rules for the NCAA, you have to sit out a year when you transfer. It doesn't matter that he sat out at Arizona State a year. Like that's irrelevant under the technical NCAA rules. So that could factor into some type of appeal for a waiver, but it doesn't matter for the actual rules.
Well, we better get that waiver.
Something.
I guess I'll leave it at that. Well, if he can't play, maybe we can go get Blackshear.
Are we going from like the most undersized team to like just a bunch of giants? There's scuttle that...
I don't know that Rick, I would say giants.
Well, there's scuttle that Rick Barnes has offered some kid that moved to Whitehaven who's like a 20 guy. He's like 7'4".
7'4"?
Yeah.
Is his name Taco Jr.?
No. Jordan Wilmore. So that's for down the road, but anyway.
Hopefully not Growmore. That was a good one. I'll be here all week.
I mean, I feel like you have Lamonte and Bowden, and then you have the big guys that you don't know much about, but are at least big.
I mean, Bowden's not small.
And then the key is, I mean,
he's a flyer.
It all just goes back to Josiah James. Like, can you build it? Like, can he be your premier scorer?
Right. I'm not asking him to be Grant Williams, but can he fill at least a part of that big of a gap as far as who your offense goes through, point scoring, you know, identity, that type of thing? It's a lot to put on a young guy.
It is. I mean, but other teams do it every year with their, with their McDonald's All-American. So,
fair point.
See if we can next year. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. Hour two rolls on here live from the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com, especially if you're in the market for a mortgage. If you're looking to buy or sell and you haven't gotten your mortgage lender situated yet, check them out at tvacreditunion.com. They've got home loans for you right now. It's their big promotion for the month of May as they celebrate 85 years serving their members right here in this community, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. You can check them out online at tvacreditunion.com or just walk into one of over 20 branches right here ready to serve you in East Tennessee. It's the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Tell them you heard about them right here on 3 and Out in Fox Sports Knoxville. We go back to the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Want to get some basketball analysis from the one and only Philly. What's up, Philly?
Hey! What's up, guys?
Well, Philly, we're trying to make sense of Tennessee's basketball roster. It's not easy because it's going to look very different next year.
It isn't, but that's college basketball now.
True.
Now Tennessee's swimming new waters now. And hopefully these new guys that come in here and play, that's the key. I mean, they just overturned almost the whole roster. I mean, I think the key to the season is going to be Josiah James and is Lamonte Turner going to be healthy?
Yeah, another shoulder procedure for Turner this offseason isn't the most comforting news, but maybe they can get that worked out and he can get back to where he was towards the end of last season. But now that you're not going to have Admiral, you're not going to have Grant, obviously no Kyle, and it sure looks like no Bone as he continues to fly up draft boards.
Yeah.
Nate said this during the break, and I think it's a really good point. Like, Josiah James cannot come in here and just be some guy and Tennessee be halfway decent next year. He needs to be, I don't want to say sensational, but he needs to be pretty damn good.
Yeah, he needs to at least be double-figure score.
Yep.
And you look at it, y'all are talking about Blackshear. I'd love to have him, but I think we need our guard more. We need Blackshear.
Yeah, when you add Urosh, it seems like now a guard would be the way to go. And I guess maybe once Bone officially announces, we'll see Tennessee move in that direction. But I'm with you. You've added some good size. I don't know where they project Gaines at. I know he's not a point guard, obviously, but I think he can probably play a little bit of the two and the three. But I do agree with you. I think you need one more quick guard with shooting ability and probably the ability to run the point if necessary, because you can't have Turner doing it for 40 minutes, and I don't think Bowden is perfectly suited to run point guard.
Yeah, well, they signed Josiah James to play point. I mean, so he's going to be able to see what they're – I say that he'll probably start, but when he starts the three, but maybe he can facilitate with a point from the three position. I don't know.
Oh, he could play the point, and Lamonte play the two, and Bowden play the three, right?
Yeah, well, that's possible, too. There's one way to look at it, but the problem is the depth at the guard. I mean, Pons and Jalen Johnson and Devontae Gaines, they still need their guard. They got enough players in the post if they're halfway decent. I don't know. I actually think we're going to have a grade up at the five position, but Grant Williams is usually losing 20 points a game. There's no way you can replace that.
No. It's, I don't want to say by committee, but you're going to have other players. Well, and especially in the cases of Turner and Bowden, like they're going to have to be more consistent, and maybe they will be. It doesn't seem like the offense is going to be going through one player as it did much of the last 2 years. Maybe that allows, instead of Bowden and Turner giving you 20 one night and four the next, maybe both of those guys can kind of round into that 12 to 15 range on average. But what a security blanket you've had for the last 2 years in crunch time when you needed a basket to just kick it inside to two and let him go to work. And now, I know you're going to have guys that you're familiar with in Bowden and Turner, but if Tennessee needs a basket next year, it's going to be interesting to see how this roster, how this team gels and develops, and who becomes that go-to guy. Can it be Josiah? Can he come in and be the, hey, we have to have a basket here. Hey, it's a late game situation. We're going to draw something up for Josiah. Or is it going to be more of a best available option type? Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be watching this team come together. Could be fun. Could also be very frustrating, I'm guessing.
Rick Barnes is only – how many losing seasons is Rick Barnes? I think he's only had one or two losing seasons in his career. He's got a great track record. I know his first year at Tennessee, he had a losing season. But I don't have his career stats in front of me. Maybe Billy can look at there and find out since he's the
once at Providence, zero at Clemson, one at Texas. Yeah, the year that kind of started the downward spiral, and then one at Tennessee.
So he had three. Wow.
So he typically doesn't have a second one at a stop. Of course, he started with a pretty good team in Texas and then had the one late in the tenure there.
Yeah, and you look at the next Falls recruiting class, they've already got a great commitment in Corey Walker, and they're probably going to get Keon Johnson.
Yeah.
If they can get another top 50 player on top of that, you're looking at a top.
Yeah, they made Springer's top 11. He's – what's Springer at? Is he ranked 11th in the country? They're up there with him. I don't know if they've got a legit shot with him. But Keon Johnson, I don't want to throw out the term and have it come back to bite me, but it seems like a lock, kind of a formality at this point that he'll commit to Tennessee point.
He's ours to lose. You're right.
Right. I mean, the top three right now is Vanderbilt, Tennessee, and Virginia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
Vanderbilt. That feels like
it's Ohio State, not Vanderbilt.
Oh, that's right. Vanderbilt, it was Vanderbilt, and then he cut Vanderbilt and Ohio State, Virginia, and Tennessee. Now,
did y'all see where Cooper Manning's son down there? Then is going to be a great quarterback in New Orleans. You seen that?
I saw a video of him. I feel like either like last summer where it was insane. How old is he now?
I'm not sure, but I just saw it on, looking around on my phone. I mean, it's kind of...
Old Cooper.
Yeah. He's got my last name. That makes it even more funny. But, guys, one more thing. On Grays Like the Weeklies and Tony Vitale, it looks like the Tennessee's, drought of going in to the playoffs is going to stop this year, don't it?
It does. We talked about that to start the show, Philly. I have been incredibly impressed with Tony Vitello to do what he's done in year two and put together the best season. I mean, breaking all types of records, as far as fastest team to 31 wins, most wins since 2005. This is highest SEC finish since 2007, and he's doing this in year two. So it's not like this is a roster full of his guys that he's developed. He's taken inherited players, made them better, brought in a few pieces, and it just seems like he mentioned it Saturday. They're a little inconsistent for his liking. He doesn't like streaky teams, but it's hard not to be impressed with this type of – I know he says streaky. They've been pretty consistent, though, even in SEC play. I could not be more impressed with him. And the weeklies, they're an institution over there. They figure it out year in and year out. They put together good teams. They always they always go out and find a great pitcher. They're always in the hunt and in the mix. And they've done it again as Tennessee softball advances to the Super Regional, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I guess the only question is now, can Jeremy Pruitt beat Vanderbilt? See.
Question. Speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, Tennessee did lose a commitment from the 2020 class over the weekend, or 2021. Was it 2020? I think it was 2020. I guess we can talk about that after the break. But Pruitt identifies talent, and then other people come in and try to take it.
We'll come back.
Did you ever get to the bottom of the Jordan Davis top six?
Not that I know of. Okay. If anybody's seen anything, give us a shout on the old tweet box, at Fox Sports Knox or at Vol Rumor Mill, at Nate Hodges. We'd love to hear from you. And as always, you can weigh in on the phone lines, 865-546-8200. Final segment, hour two. Right back at you next. Final segment, hour number two of the program, Monday edition of Three and Out, alongside Billy Williford, Nate Hodges, alongside Billy Williford and Houston Crest. I'm Nate Hodges.
There you go.
I should have just pretended to be you. No one would have known.
Shut up. Loyal listeners would have known.
Ebony Jackson, 6'1" running back out of Marietta, Georgia, 205 pounds, Kell High School. Alabama coming after the three-star guys now?
I guess.
It's Charles Kelly's fault.
Yeah.
He went to Alabama, and now he's trying to come steal Jim Chaney's recruits.
Ebony Jackson committed in April after a visit to Tennessee. Recently picked up offers from Alabama and some others and has decided to reopen his recruitment. Maryland, West Virginia, and Alabama have recently offered, and he said this: "This has been a very well thought out and extremely tough decision for me, but I've decided to decommit from Tennessee and reopen my recruitment. Please respect my decision. Have a blessed weekend." So obviously this was Friday-ish.
Yeah.
24/7 Sports has him as the 511th best player in the country, the 41st ranked running back in the 2020 class. I don't know. It's a little early to get upset or excited about recruiting for me, but I don't know. See, it feels like this has happened before where Tennessee identifies a player, gets the player to commit or offers them, and then here comes everybody else. Yeah, I guess it's a good thing that we are the first on so many of these guys. It makes you feel good about the ability to identify talent by Jeremy Pruitt and the staff. But it does kind of stink that you get a guy to commit, then here comes everybody else, and then he decommits. Just feels like Tennessee's still playing a little bit of catch-up as far as being a destination, top-choice type of school when going head-to-head with, I mean, it, of course, it's Alabama, so it makes some sense. But you got to start winning a few more of those battles. Now, they did win a few of the last couple years, right? I mean, you beat Alabama head-to-head for Dominic Wood Anderson. You beat Alabama head-to-head for Henry Toa-Toa. You're winning some of the battles, and the Ebony Jackson recruitment, again, not over. Tennessee's still in it, but it's fairly rare that someone decommits and then you kind of get them back later.
Yeah.
So we will see. Vol Nation Recruiting tweeted in and said that there may be some grade issues with Jackson, so it may not matter at all, but at least for the meantime, Tennessee down a 2020 running back. And that class, as of now, which I think was, I want to say that class was ranked pretty high, the 2020 class.
For Bama?
Or I was thinking 2021. Yeah, Alabama's is pretty good. Alabama's 2020 class currently ranked third. Tennessee, after the loss of Jackson, drops to 29th. Six commits, four four-stars, one three-star. With, again, the loss of Ebony Jackson over the weekend. 29th. One spot behind Auburn. One spot ahead of Wake Forest. Not pressing the panic button, but I'm wondering why we're this far behind.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see now if Ebony Jackson ends up, you know, going to Alabama, ultimately, does he get a four-star? You know, David Ubbin did a piece on Art Green, Tennessee's newest JUCO commitment, and his coach down at the community college, Hutchinson, out in Kansas, said, yeah, pretty much the stars just go with who's offered from the SEC. Like, if all the big boys in the SEC offer early, then kid's going to be a top player. If they don't, if there's some issue that keeps the kids from getting those offers in earlier, then they don't end up being highly rated. He was trying to explain how, and this is the title of David Ubbin's post, is how a JUCO recruit goes from unranked to number one in America in a week. I don't know if Ubbin means that to be a shot at the recruiting services.
I think he definitely does.
But it definitely sounds like it. how a JUCO recruit goes from unranked to number one in America in a week.
Ryan Rhodes of Hutchinson Community College said, I think the rankings are so tied to recruiting that there are a lot of less known players that are really talented and might go unranked because of where they sit in terms of offers. The stars come with recruitment by the big schools, the SEC in particular. But some of those top five programs, when they get involved with the kid, it seems like their rankings go up. And then talking about Art Green, he's good and super talented, but a lot of that stuff is tied to recruitment more than people that see him every day doing what they do and understanding all the strengths and weaknesses they bring to the table. Imagine that. The recruiting sites would wait to see what schools offer a kid before deciding how good he is. Seems like an easy way to scout, if you ask me.
Yeah. Only 28 total.
I don't think I have
JUCO
a problem
players
with
have been
that.
Evaluated by 24/7 Sports Composite.
Would that not be the most accurate way to kind at least initially?
Yeah, but the whole business model is built on the premise that you don't do that. Like if you rank,
is it though? Like can't you use that though as part of the formula? Like why do we have a problem with that?
Because it makes the team rankings completely obsolete. If I rank the players based on which teams are offering the kid, then you're basically...
I'm not saying the only reason. I'm saying a part of the formula.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's the way it is.
I mean, the better a player is, the more offers he's going to have from the big-time programs. I mean, they're saying offers, not committed. So if all the big boys have offered a guy, he gets the ranking, but then where he ultimately goes still impacts that team.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be different for each person. Like, it just depends on how much that factors in or how little, I guess, and how people think about it. I see what you're saying. It's not everything. Like, if he goes to Alabama, you don't automatically make him a five-star.
But I would hope
he
not,
got an offer
but maybe.
But if he gets an offer from Alabama and goes to Vanderbilt, you make him a three-star. Like, I mean,
that would be an issue.
Yeah, like, they don't
That's
do,
what I'm saying.
Now,
it's not where
that.
They go. It's how many big-time schools, especially who have been good as of late. I mean, because you're putting some credence in the fact that Nick Saban, Dabo Swinney, Kirby Smart, so on and so forth, can evaluate talent. And if all those coaches want said player, he must be pretty damn good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess that's all I'm saying. But once again, Tennessee identifies talent, and then here comes other schools to scoop him up, and now Tennessee pays the price for it. We got to be better at that. We got to keep them quiet. Like Ryan Rhodes, you got to hide some players for us. Ebony Jackson's coach, keep it on the lowdown.
What if Pruitt starts just picking a couple kids each year to recruit just to throw off guys early?
He should absolutely do that.
And then late, you know.
Sorry for the kid.
Yeah.
But maybe he gets an offer to, I don't know, Clemson or something.
You're a pawn in the great Jeremy Pruitt.
Felt like that's what everybody
scheme.
Did to Butch Jones.
That's true. Yeah. Rope-a-dope him into taking a kid who's has a bad medical evaluation
just saying.
Or something.
Yeah.
Kid who's lazy or something. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you only rated kids off where they went to school, then it would make your team rankings just completely worthless because you'd basically just be ranking players based off the teams that are good.
It'd be the top 25.
Yeah.
Well, they're number one, and they got the number one class because they're good. Well, that's not exactly how that works. Scale of 1 to 10, how worried are we about Tennessee's recruiting?
The 2020 class is 10th in the SEC.
One being... not worried, 10 being
only ahead of Ole Miss, Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
I think I'm at a 5.
I was going to say 5.
But I'm always, it always
it's kind of a non-answer, but
yeah,
that's where I'm at too. It's so hard to feel one way or the other until we get closer to deadlines and signing day and all of that.
Well, I've seen these SEC schools, especially proud ones that have a lot of success when they're rebuilding. Sometimes your best classes come with a lot of uncertainty, and you close strong late. At least back in the old days. I mean, I remember the LSU and Auburn, especially, which are schools that can be really good one year, really awful the next year, and really great again. Like they'll have a bunch of guys on the final day deciding, and sometimes they get momentum and rack up. So I mean, Pruitt recruits with that type of style in mind. A lot of different offers to a lot of different guys. So as some fall through, he's able to adjust and move around the board. He's not a big Mac Brown guy where you just call the top 20 guys and say, are you coming? If you say no, I'm going to the next guy right now. You
know, no, he's the opposite.
Play the whole board and try and finalize everything at the end. So I'm not super worried yet, but I'm starting to get there.
Is that a problem? Would he be better off narrowing the focus and really going after certain guys, or is it wise to cast such a wide net?
I think you got to do it the way he's doing it with
at least initially,
with where
right?
Tennessee yeah. is now. I mean, I just don't think that works at other. It might work in like inside the state of Georgia if you were at Georgia, but
sure.
when you're having to recruit against all these other SEC schools and you're having to, like, you need to poke and prod these guys a lot and figure out what's the one thing that will make them pick Tennessee over Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson. I mean, we were talking about the top guys.
Well, and Barnes did the total opposite of that, and people were mad that he didn't have, you know, backup plans.
Yeah. Makes sense. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number three. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200 is the number. We're going to talk a little Game of Thrones at some point during hour three as well. We'll wrap up some Vol sports talk, though, on the flip side. So stick with us right here on Fan Run Radio.